Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to this week of Beanie the Boom. We got a guest that we've had on before, and this was probably like our most popular episode of the podcast, man. Shit was real. The conversation was intense. The conversation was funny. All those things, entertaining. Welcome back, man, Cardale Jones. Man, happy to have you on.
I appreciate it. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to
Boom, man. Talking about Cardale Jones at the beginning.
Before we started, I was like, hey, it's Cardale. So it's all good. Yeah. No, I appreciate you for having me.
Oh, no doubt, man. You know, Boom, he's an IEP kid, individualized education plan. Nothing wrong with it at all.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I get it. You know, just need a little more, you know, attention.
Shut up, both of y'all.
Exactly. Hey, nothing wrong with that whatsoever, man. Hey, I'm a product too, Boom. So make you feel good. No, but man, I want to start this off real quick talking about BetDSI, BetDSI.com. Check it out. That's been a site, Cardale. I don't know if you gamble, but I gamble,
yeah, gamble
on a regular basis. And BetDSI has been a site that, you know, I've took some losses, but I've made some money on it as well, man. Nice. So if you want to bet on games, boxing events, just about anything there is. I mean, you could probably almost bet like that. Y'all used to do the dollar flip in the league in the locker room?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
The dollar flip was a game. If it lands on heads or tails, then you win. And we were playing with 20s and 100s when I was playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's about the only thing you can't bet on at BetDSI is the dollar flip game. But everything else, man, check it out. The promo code is Beanie100, so check that out. But diving into this discussion, man. What's been happening with you, dog?
Nothing, man. A lot since the last time I've been on the show, man. Transitioning from the NFL to the XFL, and got the training facility up and running. Mm-hmm. Back and forth between here and D.C. A lot's going on. A lot of things that I'm fortunate enough to be a part of, and a lot of things that, you know, I don't want no more parts of.
So. No, but talk about real quick. Obviously, we're going to break down, you know, the biggest game of the year, the Wisconsin game, and we're going to break down, you know, your thoughts on Ohio State. But man, I want to dive into you right now. And what's that transition been like, man, from the NFL to now being the face of the XFL? Because you are. I mean, you're the biggest name right now that the XFL has, and I think they're centered around everything that I've heard of making you the headliner of that league.
I mean, that's great. I mean, all the things that come with being I guess the biggest name of a league. I mean, I don't want to deal with that. So I was talking about far as the media.
Right. Right?
So I just want to play football.
Right.
And that's what the transition has been like. It's finally given me a chance to get out there and play.
Right.
You know, it's all great being in the NFL, and my goal and my dream is to one day get back to the NFL if God, if that's his plan for
right.
me. But I think the XFL give me the best opportunity to mm-hmm. do that and to still learn and still grow and to improve as a player.
Hey, you're missing one thing, Cardale, and I can't believe you left it out. Shit, you're still getting paid.
Right.
Like, I can't believe you left that part out. You're making
still
money.
Yeah, it's still an opportunity to provide for my family financially and go on from there. So we'll see what doors this opportunity opened up for me.
Man, I know you probably remember because obviously you was the guy that did it back in college, man. You sent out a tweet to a chick by the name of Ronda Rousey, and we know who the XFL was owned by.
Right.
Hey, so maybe there's a plug. Maybe we might see Cardale on Monday Night Raw, your tag team partners with Ronda Rousey.
So, I was literally there two nights ago.
For real?
Cleveland. So it was so funny. Then that's a buddy said the exact same thing. Like, hey, you still got a crush on Ronda Rousey? I was like, man, no, man, that's a happily married woman. Man.
Oh, is she? Oh, my bad.
And
Ronda.
I was like, that'd be so. That's okay to have a crush on
right.
her, but I was like, it'd be so awkward if I just saw her. I'd just be like, you know, like, because we were sitting in the front row, too. It was an unreal experience. And then, like you said, Vince McMahon owns the XFL and WWE. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, her marriage is strong and well. But if it's not, I'm going to have to hit up Mr. McMahon. Like, hey, you didn't want to set up a tag team. Not a tag team match, but a blind date. You know?
Right.
But no, good luck to her and her marriage. I'm pretty sure it's going strong, though.
So, have you met Vince McMahon?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't, but I heard some really unique things about him outside of the things that you you see on TV.
Right, and this is somebody who can watch this with the kids, too.
Right.
Exactly. Like, I know, right? So the times that he got in the wrestling ring, right. You know, the time he was beefing with Stone Cold, things like that. So I was classic. Always a big fan of the McMahon family. Right. And actually, Shane McMahon was my guy, my guy wrestling. He was my freaking guy. But some of the crazy things you hear about Mr. McMahon is that some of his nicks that he don't like what people do. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. I heard it from more than one source that, you know, he don't like when people sneeze around him because it shows a lack of self-control.
Man, what?
Yeah. Also, I can see this second one being legit. And I can see it actually having an effect on someone. Say, for example, you know, I'm talking to one of you guys, right? And we may be in a roundtable discussion. And, hey, I'm talking about, you know, a plan or some business or things like that. Exactly. You're doing it right there.
Right.
And it's forcing when you like agreeing with me and shaking your head, yes.
It makes,
he
yeah.
said it forces the people around you to adapt your thought and pretty much shut down the part of their brain that thinks for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's like, oh, he's agreeing with it. Oh, I'm agreeing with it. Oh,
right.
So basically saying, like, I'm talking to someone in an environment like this, mm-hmm. and while I'm talking to you, like, yeah. Now you, like, everyone sees that, and they like, oh, he's agreeing with it. Oh, I need to agree with it, too.
Oh, man, he's like a big, like, body,
mind,
like a cerebral
yeah.
guy.
Yeah, man, he's like, right? I don't know, like, what the psychology of who he is.
Exactly, and that's what makes him so successful, and I actually can see that, because I know it's been, I can't recall, but I know it's been times when I was maybe talking to someone or been in some type of business environment and listening, and physically, in my mind, agreeing with him, shaking my head, like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. But maybe spreading that onto someone else.
Right.
And vice versa. Like, watching someone else do that. I'm like, they got a good point. So, you know, so that's pretty unique about him.
Oh, man, that's dope, man. So talk us through, you know, what it was like to – I mean, I know it's probably a hard discussion, but you go through training camp, you go through preseason, and, dude, you have one of the best preseasons out of every quarterback in the league at this time. And, you know, when you do that, I think you led – you know, in the completion percentage and passing yards and maybe touchdowns and all that great stuff. But then when you get out of training camp, you're released, and now you're obviously, you know, going into another situation. What was that like, bro? When you sit back and you look at situations like that, and you're like, damn, dude, I just went out and did this, that, and the third. What everybody expected me to do and wants me to do and what I'm supposed to be showing people, but I'm on the back end.
Yeah, it was – you know what, man? You know, as young players, we sign up for this, and we – don't understand what's at the end of the light, at the end of the tunnel, far as the business side of playing football.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to go out there and play football.
Exactly.
You know, and boiling that, going all the way back to last year, in the last season, I didn't show the strides and the steps I made this past offseason last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that forced the Chargers to go sign a guy like Tyrod Taylor and pay him a significant amount of money
right.
to be the back out. It forced them to draft a guy like Easton Stick to potentially be the guy after Tyrod, after Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And it That's crazy. Put me on the back burner. They was almost, in a way, recruiting past me
mm-hmm.
and hoping I just kind of put my tail between my legs and kind of make it easy for them to cut me.
Right.
So, but, you know, it's competition in the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I looked at it as another opportunity to get better. And that's the way I approached this past offseason, and that's why I had the success I had going into camp and going into the preseason. Because, I mean, you know, not trying to sound this, and trying to put this in a more professional way. You know, I outperformed everyone,
right? Yeah.
Definitely the guys on my roster,
mm-hmm. right?
And being fair to them, you know, they were just new to the system. Easton is a rookie, so it wasn't fair for them to say, Easton, you're competing against Cardell for the number three spot,
right?
You know, and they already kind of gave Tyrod the spot,
mm-hmm.
the number two spot, by, you know, making that financial commitment to him.
Right.
But I kind of put the team in a tough situation as mm-hmm. well, because the performance, but then they was kind of hoping I didn't perform as well, you know. Yep. And I totally got it. You know, I was sitting down with our GM when they was releasing me, and, you know, it was like, hey, you know, you're not a three. You know, you're a legit backup, and on some teams we believe that you were one. But mm-hmm. then that's when he explained it to me, you know. But in our situation, you know, we – allocate a certain, you know, right. amount of money to this guy. We got to get our money's worth, mm-hmm. and then that's not fair to just release this guy. We drafted him. We want to see what he's able to do right. in a year or so or whatever it may be. And I'm like, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I put my big boy cap on and the business side of it, and I said, hey, the moves you guys made this offseason, I would do the exact same thing if I was a GM.
Right.
Because, like I said, I didn't show them strides mm-hmm. the previous year. And at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for your team.
Dude, I'm so glad you're a realist, bro, because a lot of people you can't have this conversation with.
Oh, really no. They'd be like, oh, I should be starting. Right, exactly. I should be doing this. Oh, no, I'm the guy. I'm better than them. No.
And
that's one thing about me when it comes to my career and my abilities. I'm extremely upfront
right.
with it because I'm not going to be that guy that's 43 years old. Oh, I can still play. Mm-hmm. Or they screwed me. Or they did this. In some situations, that's legit.
Right.
Some guys might not get their chance. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they screwed or something like that. But, you know, in my situation, I try not to think like that.
Right.
I get it. It's business. Mm-hmm. And then I go to Seattle for a week and I had an opportunity to pick between Seattle, Jacksonville, and I think Dallas at the time. And I picked Seattle because I thought it would be a better opportunity. And, mm-hmm. you know, they presented a plan for me to get there, learn the system, and potentially be the number two by the end of the year.
Right.
Perfect. So I'm down for it. Week one, we play Pittsburgh. You know, we get some guys banged up. We win the game. We fly back. We realize three of our linemen is not going to practice mm-hmm. the following week. So, of course, with the NFL, you don't just gain three more spots to bring in three more guys. You got to create them
exactly.
by releasing guys. So me being here a week, it was they took the horse in the back and shot him. You know? But no, they explained it to me. Like I said, it's business. I totally understood it. And they wanted to bring me back when the guys get healthy. But at that point, that's when I started to realize, I'm not that guy. Right. I'm not about to bounce around. Mm-hmm. I'm not about to be the easy target. So, and that's when I kind of committed to the XFL. And I'm like, I'm done with the NFL this year. You know, and a couple other teams reached out to me to bring me in for practice squad. I was like, hey, if you guys don't have a real plan for me and my abilities,
after a while,
I ain't doing it.
After a while.
I ain't going to go waste my time. And every Tuesday, I got my fingers crossed, hope I don't get cut.
Right.
Yeah. No way. I'm just like,
chasing that.
They don't know how to give it up.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not even just giving it up. I mean,
but
he's making a smart business decision because he has another opportunity.
Yeah.
If that's the last resort, then you keep on going.
Right,
but
you got other
things lined up that
exactly.
you know could be more equitable for you and your future, then
That was my mindset at the time. I said, I always had this in my back pocket because a guy in the front office of the XFL, a guy named Doug Whaley, was our GM. Mm-hmm. So he presented to me last year.
Right.
Like, hey, well, I'm getting ready to do some big things. Just know you always have a home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, best. That's,
That's important.
So, yeah, exactly.
That's important.
So that actually also helped me play freely this past offseason too. Mm-hmm. And just having that in my back pocket, knowing that, I'd be able to play.
Right.
It didn't matter pretty much what I wasn't just going to bounce around the NFL. I think this was me finally gambling and betting on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't about to go sit there on a practice squad for the rest of the year or bounce around and just watching and not getting any reps. And, that's good. You got all the obligations as the active roster guys, but you have no security.
Then you ain't getting, like you said, you ain't getting a rep, so you're not getting an opportunity to put yourself out there for other people to.
Exactly. And then you start that process over again in the off season. Hopefully you get some reps. And preseason, I see what happens. And you can potentially be released. It's like, no. I'd rather take my career in my own hands,
mm-hmm.
bet on myself, go to the XFL, potentially kill it, and then walk off that championship field and have an opportunity to sign a legit contract, have an opportunity to go somewhere and compete to be a guy rather than just another guy.
Mm-hmm. 100%, man.
And another good thing about this, it's not like you just sitting around just working out. You're actually getting some time to play football still.
Exactly,
So you're making yourself better.
This is a pro league. You're a professional. Shit, there's gonna be other pros out there. This is
real deal.
I had an opportunity to be in DC the past 2.5 weeks, and meet with my staff, and I was just the only player at the time. This was before the draft, and we installing the offense, and we going through the draft board, who they like. The coach has been through. They had showcases and things like that. Hey, Carl, what do you think about this guy? The type of offense we run, we think he fits here. And being behind the scenes of all that stuff, mm-hmm. that's what I want.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the sweet part. And then, like you said, you playing with other pros.
Yeah.
You got guys running around dropping some low 4.3s. You got guys benching all these great numbers and moving around. And then you got a lot of guys who had really good preseason as well.
Right.
That just didn't have an opportunity. It was a mm-hmm. numbers game or whatever it may be, who's transitioning to the XFL as well.
You talk about that cerebral part of Vince McMahon. I think this, and bro, I know this is going to make you so much better because you're getting the opportunity to be behind and see, or how do they evaluate guys? What do they expect? What do they anticipate? And just think about that. When you're a quarterback, you know, okay, this is what they want out of this specific guy, right, and what they expect him to be doing out there. So you're going to be all the way around better for any other opportunity. Whether it's another opportunity out there or not, this may be the best situation because who knows if you blow this thing out the water, what it could look like.
Yeah. It's insane. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be in a room with Phillip Rivers for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's big time.
I always said my first week when I got traded to the Chargers, my first week was my first time ever really playing football.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the mindset, well, playing quarterback,
right,
because of the mindset Phil forced me to have, and being around a guy who can't beat you with his athletic ability at all, mm-hmm, can't run out of daylight, walk like he got 2 left feet.
Right.
You know, but Phil is my guy. I'm telling you, he's my guy. And the way that he attack a game plan, the way that he attack a defense, so it's from the neck up.
Right.
And the first thing he told me, he's like, hey, I want you to, you know, play the game like you're not as athletic as me. And that forces you to think how you got to beat guys different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And being behind the scenes of the XFL and my team, the DC Defenders, and having an opportunity with Coach Hamilton to, hey, Cardell, go sit in the defensive install.
Mm-hmm.
See how they attack in offense. See how they attack you in practice every day.
Right.
Go sit in the defensive install. Next week you can learn the offense. And I'm just like, what? You know, I'm like, Coach, I know defense.
Right,
I know
right.
6. I know 8. I know how to beat that. But to see how they install and to see what the different fronts they play, mm-hmm, with and things like that, man, it just adds another aspect to the game.
Bro, that's huge.
Hey, you talk about spending some time with the staff for like 2 weeks. I mean, obviously, I had the opportunity to play under Pep Hamilton when I was with the Colts, you know, when he was the offensive coordinator. How has it been, you know, sitting in meetings with him, trying to get to know him, trying to get to know his way of, you know, running plays and things like that?
It's been pretty unique. I mean, golly, he has spent 40 minutes on one play.
That's tough, bro.
But no, he's such a great coach, and he can connect with you. And he's not one of them coaches, and we had this conversation yesterday. He ain't one of them coaches that, oh, this is the way it's going to happen. It got to go this way.
Right.
Because we had them conversations already, and we butted heads far as being offensive staff of blocking schemes on protections and maybe a different way. Because it's so early in the game that – I got the ability, and they give me that flexibility, and I earned that right, knowing and proving I know what the heck I'm talking about, mm-hmm, in different situations, to maybe change something, to maybe call it a little differently.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I ain't going to really feel that play.
Right.
Hey, if you call this versus this, I'm telling you what I'm going to do.
Right.
So having that conversation, that dialogue with him, and proving that I know what the hell I'm doing back there, he's so much open. He's so more open. And from the jump, he was never that guy. Hey, this is how we run it. We call it this way because it's set in stone. Ain't nothing set in stone. You know, he's like, hey, you know, it's running
everything
through you.
Everything open. Wide open.
Exactly. It's running through you. If you don't like the way we call it something else. It'll hit your brain better, or what you think the backside should have on this and things like that. So I will say, you know, and clearly you know how offensive coordinators are. You guys know that they're going to run things that they ran at other places, mm-hmm, and they bring it along. And I'm like, that don't make sense to me. Why would you have that route on the backside of this? Damn, that's
right.
Dead. You have them run for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd never get the ball.
Right.
So, you know, a couple of things like that. And Pep and Ted and Tanner, our quarterback coach and our OC, they're great guys. And our offensive line coach, Saffo, they're really good guys. And they all have the same vision for this team and for this offense. So it makes it easier to, I mean, I guess they say it's a thousand or a million ways to skin a cat.
Right.
So, you know, they're not that narrow-minded, set in stone. Oh, I want to do it this way. Oh, I want to do it this way. Because everybody comes from so many backgrounds.
100%.
You know, we're putting in everything that everyone knows and what they're comfortable with, and we keep narrowing down. So.
Well, one of the things, though, man, I'm super excited about this league. And, you know, I'm excited because – hell, you look at the XFL. I don't know if y'all watched a documentary on the XFL a couple years ago that they had. I want to say it was the ESPN 30 for 30. And you watch how successful they were in a limited amount of time. Mm-hmm. And now you watch the NFL and you watch so many different things, the camera angles, you know, the people being their personalities. The league right now took a lot of shit from the XFL and implemented it into what they're doing. So they were kind of trendsetters in that regard.
Right.
So I'm anxious to see them come back because we look at the AFL, the league that just folded was the last spring. They were starting to put people in stands. They were starting to generate opportunities and kind of, you know, get TV contracts. Now, I don't know whatever it was with the back-end funding that led to them failing.
Right.
But it lets you know that there's a market out there for another football league.
Yeah. And I think the thing you want to ask
me. No, go ahead.
And I think the thing with, I'm not for sure, and it's hard for me to comment, you know, educated comment on something I really don't know too much about, but from my understanding, you know, it was a guy that, you know, I don't know who he is, put up a lot of money for the AAF, mm-hmm. and some financial,
the AAF, that's what it was.
The financial things happened, and pretty much the accounts got frozen, so there's no way to start paying guys. Mm-hmm. So kind of, I want to say folded or flopped, but it's a big hold, you know,
right.
because of the situation and the financial situation. This one owner, this one guy who owned the whole league was putting up the money for, you know, whatever was happening with him. But, you know, and I had this question actually before, what makes us think that XFL won't go down the same path? I say, because we got Vince McMahon as our guy. Look at wrestling. Look at WWE. Look at WWF. Everything this guy put his name on is
look at AEF. You know, yeah. I don't think people, I mean, people don't even know that. That's an extension of WWE right now.
Exactly. You know, you got all these superstars.
Is AEF or AEW or something like that?
AEW. Elite, I think it's like, what is it? Some wrestling. But
right.
And then the platform, you know, Mr. McMahon give all these performers opportunities to seek other things. Like, you know, The Rock is a movie star. John Cena is a movie star. You know, Batista, all these guys, they have so many different avenues because of this platform right. that he allowed these guys to perform on. And it gave them opportunity to venture out and do other things. They, you know,
Carter, I 100% see you being on WWE at some point.
Hey, I see yours. The personality is there. You fight like Mike Tyson or something.
Bro, the personality is there.
I wouldn't know, though. It's so funny, man. Me and my buddy, I'm telling you, we sat front row, and I was putting all of my snap last night. I mean, two nights ago. And they will slam them guys to them freaking barricades. And, you know, it's entertaining. But I'm like, hey, you ain't fake some of this shit.
It's real entertainment.
I'm like, you can't fake so some the moves of this shit.
And all
so,
that shit.
So, you know how they say it's not really real, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can't fake some of this.
If you get slammed, you get slammed.
Bro, like,
he threw this guy. Listen. Bum. He threw this. Listen, the barricade, we right there. Hey, I kid you not, this thing, boo, rocking. I'm like, oh. And I'm laughing. I'm like, me and my buddy, we all like, all like this. We're like, man, we about to be on, like, not top 10 forever. Man, I'm telling you, some of that stuff is for sure, like.
I mean, you can't fake
like,
some of it.
Yeah, some of the stuff is like, okay, that's
some of them slaps, horrible. Though, man.
Yeah, I'm like, that's what. But getting slapped across the chest, that's real.
And that's getting real. Slammed through no a table, that. I mean, that got to be, the table may not be 100%, you know, thick as this right here, this wood right here,
right.
but it's a real table you're asking right. to slam through. Yeah. Nonetheless, so it's still a and chance for you to get hurt
that's right, what I'm
going
then,
through
then,
it.
Then ain't no, how you go fake if I'm in the sky, jump on you on your belly? I mean, you probably, you know, crotch up a little bit.
And that shit always packed too.
Yeah.
Like, it's always a big crowd there.
Man, when
so
I
that's how you know it's
yeah, wait, it's pretty cool. And the impact they have on the fans and you know, the whole sports business, it's pretty unique to see up close and personal. Like we were just talking, man, we always grew up watching that stuff,
right.
you know, Stone Cold, Undertaker, and the list goes on of guys that we love to watch. But being there actually to see that, I was skeptical about going. I was like, oh, maybe, man, I know it's fake and stuff like that. But right. that shit brought the kid out of me.
My kids love it. We go to, anytime it's, we didn't go to one the other night, but anytime it's in Ohio, we normally go. My question is, on the last names, we see shit like He Hate Me. What's that? Is it going to be just regular Jones?
It's going to be regular.
It's going to be, oh, man.
That, it ain't going to be the
12 game. Oh, for sure. If it was doing nicknames, and that was so funny, some guys we drafted, some receivers that was local around the D.C. area, so I got a chance to throw with them right after the draft. That was their first question. We doing nicknames on the back of the jersey?
Oh, man, I wish that was the case.
And I think they're trying to make it more a professional.
Right.
They, you know, because – My remembers of the old XFL, it was like everybody was mic'd up and kind of was like no rules and the nicknames and all that stuff. And I think they're trying to make it
the real
deal. Yeah, more, I think more almost, I don't want to say like the NFL because it's completely two different leagues, but more like the NFL.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but in a way to keep it so it can make it an easier transition for guys that's coming from the XFL.
Right.
To the NFL, you know, having the opportunity to get back into the league because, you know, it starts February 8th and it ends mid-April. Mm-hmm. And then you guys know, February is the Super Bowl.
Right.
So it starts right at the end of the NFL season. Mm-hmm. And April is the OTA, so it ends right when the NFL season beginning.
Right.
So they're trying to make that transition smooth with the rules and things like that. So,
dude, I mean, well, like I said, you guys probably didn't watch that 30 for 30. Austin, you shook your head over there like you watched that 30 for 30. And I remember – I just remember all the antics in the post-game interviews, mm-hmm. and then you go to the post-game parties where you got the WWF, at that time, Divas, being a part of these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was such an integration.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what made that thing kind of gain a lot of fanhood, because exactly. people wanted to be a part of the WWF. And when you're integrating fans, I mean, people are going to want to go. And that's one thing that Vince McMahon knows how to do. He knows how to market. He knows how to fill seats. That's why I really see this league taking off, and I'm excited about it, man. Because for so many years, bro, we look at it being only – when we were kids, we had NFL Europe.
Yes.
So as adults, the next step that we have is the Canadian Football League. And, you know, a lot of guys don't want to go over to Canada. Guys still want to be close. They want to be home. They still want to have family, be able to come to the games, and still have that U.S. presence. Mm-hmm. And I think this gives us an opportunity to do that. And for so long, we talked about the league having a developmental league. Well, you know, we don't need a developmental league. We got college. That's essentially the NFL's developmental league. And now the XFL's developmental league. But you're giving so many other guys an opportunity to go out and play professionally and make money. And you know how it is, bro. There's so many guys in the league that probably shouldn't be in the league. There's so many guys on the street that are better than guys in the league. But for whatever reason, because of the politics of the game, it doesn't allow you to do it. But now you got this other league, it opens it up for so many more people.
Exactly. And then, like you said, it's an opportunity for guys to showcase what they got.
Right.
You know, a lot of guys might not have the opportunity to, you know, you might be behind to, if you're a fourth running back, if you ain't running out on kickoff, you probably won't be there long.
Right.
So you're given an opportunity to see what you can do in the backfield. You get an opportunity to see what you can do in a real life game situation. And I was mentioning to a couple of guys that we drafted, because they don't sign any contracts, I think, until early December, late November-ish, mm-hmm. they can still get called up to NFL team.
Right.
And my advice to them, I was like, hey, man, bet on yourself.
Right.
If they ain't got no real plan for you, man, if you going to sit on the practice squad because somebody just got hurt, guess mm-hmm. what? When they get healthy, you
back out here.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, and you going somewhere to save somebody's legs, you know, and week 8, week 9 for the rest of the season, you got to run that go route on the backside, you ain't getting the ball.
Right.
If that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to do, but if you know what I'm saying, if you want to bank on yourself, have an opportunity to play, mm-hmm. have an opportunity to further your career and not just, like I said, save my legs and run around and stay here. Like,
right.
You know, do it. But that's just my advice to them guys. Mm-hmm. And clearly, everybody going to do what they want to do when it comes to their career because it's their career.
Carter, I got to ask you, though, man. This is the elephant in the room. Now, we're not asking you your situation. What's the pay structure? I think everybody out there is going to want to know that because it hasn't been something that's been made public. Right. I don't know if you even want to make – if you don't got to answer this
you
at all.
What? That's
but for other guys, what is it like a maximum amount or a minimum that guys will be making?
So,
or just tell me the minimum
know. I don't know the pay structure because I was lucky enough to be one of the allocated quarterbacks.
Right, so it's different.
I know our pay is a little different.
Right.
When it comes to incentives and guarantees, I believe, mm-hmm. but it's no. So this is a new league. It's no set contract.
Right.
It's no set like okay. Because I remember my agent when he was going through the signing the process, and it was like, I'm like, what's taking so long? I want to go there. Like, that's fine. Oh well, you know, this is their first year. They don't have a set contract.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They don't have set language. We need to make sure that when
make sure that's
when,
right.
Yeah, when April is over, we can just walk into the NFL locker room.
Right.
We need to see who own your rights. We need to see who like. So it's no really set contract. And I heard rumors that pay is like $70,000 maybe mm-hmm. you know for 10 weeks or and then can make up to $85,000-$90,000 mm-hmm. including incentives in your contract. But I don't know the structure of draft. How
right.
I work with the draft.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's everyone's getting that $70,000 potentially grand.
Mm-hmm.
Or it did by draft because we got two more drafts.
Right.
So I don't – I can't give like a legit answer on that.
So, man, I like to dive deep in the business aspect. And, you know, when I keep thinking about Vince McMahon, I can't help but think about all the other outlets that he has. They got a mm-hmm. WWE network.
Mm-hmm. It's on network.
Exactly. Right. So in my mind, it's okay, will these games be broadcast as part of that WWE network? Or – and we always watch Raw on what, USA or something like that? Mm-hmm. Are the football games going to be on USA? And then
so, no, we just released a schedule, and
okay.
Our major partners is ESPN.
Okay, ABC, so even better. So they already got TV contracts.
ESPN, right. ABC, and FS1.
So
that's our that's what.
So we're going to just watch.
Yeah. So it'd be opportunities to watch, and you know, it won't be like
Canada.
Exactly. You you don't know which channels.
Right.
I got
right.
some buddies that play in Canada too.
But what I was getting at is, you know. Let's say this thing blows it out the water and we're talking, you know, millions of viewers on a weekly basis. You know what that means. That's more money for Vince McMahon. So at what point are players allowed to kind of restructure the deal once they see how the league is making after the first year?
That's a great question. I think what the league will make after this first year, I mean, granted, we behind the scenes, we're not actually in their office and
on the business side. I can see them,
you know, okay, for example, we outperform expectation when it comes to viewers and
I think they will too.
Tickets
that's crazy,
and
man.
Things like that. Of course, that money go into that bigger revenue pile. And what I witness and what I experienced so far, this is not a stingy league,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe they give more to guaranteed contracts. Maybe mm-hmm. they give more to that salary for the following year. Maybe, you know, this year is we trying to create a blueprint,
right?
You know, so we don't know what to expect. We don't mm-hmm. know how to. It's hard to base next year off this year, right. especially being the first year. So maybe if this is year three or four and they had some numbers, okay, views was up, views were down, views up, views were down. Okay, this is how we're going to allocate that money from the past year to these contracts. Right. And maybe the contracts the following year may be lower, maybe they'd be higher. So I can see that definitely going into effect of how they going to structure the following year's contracts.
Right. I know one thing, man. You know what I would love to see? With this XFL, and especially with the was Washington Defenders?
DC Defenders.
DC Defenders.
Yes, sir.
We got Cardale Jones at quarterback. You get Braxton Miller at wide receiver. You call your boy Jalen Marshall, get him out there at wide receiver.
So,
we can put together a Buckeye team that can be very, very nice, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, yeah. And then we're fortunate enough to have some really good receivers now, but I would love to have an opportunity to add them, guys. And I know Jalen is playing in the CFL right now.
I think Braxton just signed with the Panthers.
Oh, he did?
Did he?
Practice squad.
Oh, okay, nice. Okay.
I just read that. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Hey, see, that's
nice.
Another deal right there where you make that bet on yourself, baby.
Right. Yeah.
Bet on, get some film out there.
For sure. That's what I said. I'm betting on myself. Forget that. But I know.
Because you've been in the business and you know how it is.
Exactly.
Now,
yeah, just after you've been released and spend a week in Seattle, the other team's hitting me up saying the same shit. I'm like, ooh.
Let me go get this guarantee real quick.
Exactly. Let me get this guarantee. Let me get this opportunity to play. And then, you know, next April, now that I got.
See what's
now
happening.
Them teams come back and call, and now we can really talk.
Yeah.
We ain't doing no come try out shit. We ain't doing no. Oh, we want you to come try in camp. No, I ain't,
watch
ain't
that
no
film.
Camp arm. Yeah, I'm like try out
that film.
Yeah, ain't no camp arm. Right. No way, Jose.
Right.
I ain't no camp arm, and I ain't about to be no legs that run around. I want to. At this point, I feel like I'm a legit asset to a team, not just
intrigued by this shit, man. I can have questions all day long. I know we're ready to move along because we want to talk about Ohio State, we want to talk about Wisconsin. But, bro, I just can't help but think. You said the season ends in April.
Mm-hmm.
So now how much tougher do you – but I'm chiming on this, man. This is just going to make it so much more tougher for teams when they're evaluating guys coming out because a lot of times you got a lot of these guys that are drafted in the back end, guys that are signing these free agent deals coming out of college, and now it's going to be tougher on the NFL. Because now you may have these situations that, all right, maybe this guy doesn't choose to go to the NFL because he knows he maybe quite wasn't ready to go to the NFL anyways, but he wanted to leave and he doesn't get drafted. And instead, his agent tell him, instead of going to the league and just being a camp body and go being behind, or you go here to where you're going to get some playing time and here where you get a better opportunity.
Yeah, so, it won't work perfectly with the college guys because so college season ends – at best, January, 8th, 9th, this is national title. Yeah. Well, we'd be in camp for XFL and getting ready to play that following February, that in 3 weeks in February.
Right.
So if it was a guy who didn't get drafted drafted was in March or April. So when that draft happened, you know, at best, XFL championship game is mid-April. So that'd probably be around the same time. So that season would probably pretty much be over for him. Mm-hmm. So our season will be going on while that kid is getting ready for the combine, you know, pro day and things like that. So he had to wait that following year. So he had an opportunity.
Draft. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, he had an opportunity.
So the draft had to happen then after.
Yeah,
because
so it almost makes sense for him to go to the league.
Right.
Get cut,
he had the
deal.
Opportunity. Right. Yeah, he had an opportunity going to a camp.
Right.
And then if it don't work out with a camp, then he can enter his name in the XFL draft, which we just had our first one last Tuesday, October, whatever that just was.
Mm-hmm.
So he will go through an NFL camp potentially and maybe not get signed.
Right.
And then he will be eligible, you know, throughout the process for that XFL draft. Right. And then, like I said, we got two more drafts coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So
dope insight, man.
Yeah, yeah, he'd be eligible for the following year. So, you know, his rookie year in NFL would have potentially started in September, but his rookie year in XFL would start pretty much December because of camp.
Gotcha.
See,
say this thing takes off, like goes crazy, you know what I'm saying? Could you see them add more teams?
I can see that. I can definitely see that. And if it takes off,
more teams, more money.
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely see that, given
– It make you think, though, like – I mean, obviously, we know the NFL is, like, the big time thing, the biggest. But say this thing take off and they get up to, you know, 32 teams and anything can happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Somebody said something crazy to me. Like, what if, like – it became where, like, the NFL did, like, a thing where they had their top four teams, and the XFL got it so big that they had their top four teams, and it's like a playoff.
That'd never happen. It'll never happen, though.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, hey, but yeah. I'm just saying, like.
You got, that'd be like, that. Honestly, it'd be like, that will almost.
You got to integrate leagues, and it's so much paperwork and so much, you know.
But that'd be more money, though.
I don't know. You got a collective bargaining agreement. There's no way.
I was about to say that. It'd be more money, and then we don't have a CBA right now.
Right.
And right now, so Pep Hamilton, we were sitting in meetings and shit, and I'm, you know, it's like 11:30. I'm just sorry watching the film. Like, yeah. He blitzed. He's like, "Girl, get your ass up. We ain't got no CBA. ain't no work labor laws."
And that's pepped over.
But no, it was just one of those moments. Like, I just, go route. Yeah, I like it. Throw it. Yeah, go ahead. Like, ain't that's no CBA. Ain't no work labor laws around here yet.
Right, get your
ass up.
And tell Pep, man, I might have found this itch to the coach, man. So I might be reaching out to him a little bit. Coach out there, man. No, but transition on, man. But you got anything else about the XFL, man? Anything?
No, but I did want to transfer over to, you know, obviously we was talking about the big business side of things, and obviously you got this new facility out here. Yeah. Just kind of just tell us about that and what kind of made you want to get into that. What you know?
Yeah. So Plus Two, we call it Plus Two University. Mm-hmm. Plus Two for short. Me and Eric Lichter, a guy that trained you guys.
On the podcast.
Yeah, a guy that trained me when I was a young pup. Back when he was training speed and strength in Cleveland,
right.
Before he got a job at Ohio State.
Me too. I used to drive up from Akron growing up to Euclid in high school.
Crazy, yeah. So, and then I remember, man, going back to me and his history a little bit. I think I was probably about second, third grade going around me.
Second
or third grade.
Dang.
Couldn't do nothing. I couldn't walk and chew gum.
Still can't.
Still can't walk and chew gum. And I remember Eric being extremely hard on guys, and then I was a little bigger, so I was training with like the fourth and fifth graders, I think he had the time, or the age group, and watching how he operated, I'm like, this dude's crazy, right? So, but he stayed on me, and I was thinking, and my mom was around, I was thinking like, he just on me because my mom's around, he's not going to care when I leave, you know, when she leaves. So she gets a point when she's comfortable leaving me up there, and then E is still on me, so I'm like, oh, this dude is legit.
Yeah.
So, and then he had the opportunity at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
So he disappeared, basically, you know, he had to leave. And I stopped going because I kind of –
You got used to him.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think the guy's name was Tim.
Tim.
Yeah, Tim was pretty good too, but I'm like, just whatever. I got to figure it out.
Right.
You started to go through high school and get recruited, and freaking E is on staff with Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of reconnected there, and then made the opportunity to go to Ohio State freshman year. That's when the whole transition happened, and never was able to get a coach by E again. Fast forward to after my rookie year in the league, I had to do this thing with Fox Sport. It was basically a workout video and a couple of things like that. And I just had ran into E at the movies, and his son Tyler at the time, he was kind of like a little bit younger than me, and I'm like, oh, Tyler, you got freaking huge.
Right.
I haven't seen you in 10 years,
right.
You know, and we kind of reconnected, just stayed in contact, and then I reached out to Eli, hey, I got to do this video for Fox Sports, you mind just coming and, you know, just take me through a road car.
Mm-hmm.
He did it, and I'm just like, holy shit.
He tried to kill you.
Yeah, he tried to kill me, for sure. You want a really good one? It's for TV? Oh, right. I got it. Try to kill me. But it was a great – and I was already working out at the time, too. And it was a great workout. I'm like, man, I reached out to Eli, man, what it takes for you to, like, to train me again?
Right.
He's like, man, I don't know, man. I've been out the game 2-3 years. You know, I'm dedicated to my son. I'm doing this Advocare. And the wife would kill me and things like that. Yeah, I got to check with her. So had a small relationship with his wife as well, so she allowed him to train me, which was worked out perfectly. And then, you know, being my trainer in the offseason, things like that, and seeing the kids around his son, TJ. TJ is so much better than the kids his group because he got E at home.
Yeah.
He is, like, when I had my camp last year in Cleveland, 2 years ago in Cleveland, I put TJ with the 8th graders. And TJ was in the 5th, I think. And he was carrying his weight.
Yeah.
He wasn't killing his kid, but he's carrying his weight. you know, things like that. And, you know, TJ coaches for his team realized that too, and was like, hey, you know, E, do you mind training some of our kids sometime? He was like, I really didn't saw that. went to a training session or two, and he realized that these kids had a lack of focus. Mm-hmm. That's what it really was.
100%.
And he think it's just because of the video games and everything.
Fortnite.
Exactly. All the things he had accessible.
TikTok.
To.
Right.
Exactly. So, you know, me and E kind of shared the same thing when it comes to kids and giving back and helping. And we feel like this would be a great opportunity to help kids and help them develop. You know, our target goal was the kids that were, honestly, the kids like me growing up.
Right.
The kids that were physically and genetically, you know, they was physically 8 years old, but they were genetically.
Right. You're gifted, but you don't even know it.
Yeah,
right.
they're six, though.
Get it out of them.
Yeah, yeah, so trying to bring them up to their potential and at least, you know, their age group of the kids running around them. So that was our goal, and that's why we started Plus Two University. And it's taking off now. You know, we're doing adult fitness classes. You know, we're doing some business, team building things with different businesses. And, of course, we're training our youth there. So we got some of the equipment that I haven't seen in, you know, performance centers that I train at.
Right.
You know, when I'm not here. You know, far as
you know all the little tricks and all the man, all the toys.
Exactly. I'm like, man, he got kids on Kaiser Air Runners.
Yeah.
You know, he got kids doing a lot of different crazy things at the gym. I'm just like, dude. And then we already seeing results and some of the response that we got, some of these parents, some of these what do you call it? Testimonial videos,
right.
And seeing how their kid, just seeing the discipline of the kid and attention span and things like that. And I'm like, yeah, because they tired as hell from eating beef.
Right.
But, and it's so funny, you know, dealing with kids, it was a touchy subject because I'm like, I don't know, because E is E.
Yeah,
he got one way, and that's full go. And I'm like, I know how you train me. I get fed up with your ass sometimes.
Right.
And I'm like, I wonder how he's going to train the kids. So, I was lucky enough to catch a couple of training sessions. He training them like he training me.
Duh.
I'm like, and then you got some of these parents just watching, just loving it. I'm just like, oh my God, you guys are crazy. He's gonna kill these kids.
Man.
But they love it, and their response to it, it's just unparalleled. So,
I mean, you look at the track record though, man. Look at the guys that he trained in the past, man, and see what they became.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Or when you
man.
Want your kids not to go train with him.
Exactly. I totally agree, man. A lot of people don't know. I mean, it wasn't just because of E. Tegan and Jaren wasn't always that fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wasn't always that fast.
Right.
Guys like, I mean, you guys, the Billies, we went into Ohio State. We had the opportunity to be, we was already good athletes.
Right.
But E and his resume and the way he trained, the things he do, that took guys to the next level.
100%, man.
You know, so.
So I got a group of kids, man, that, you know, I coach in Mansfield. And this year, man, I'm bringing my Mansfield football team. We played flag for – we've been playing together for 7 years. That's how long I had all the kids on my team. And this year, we're coming to Columbus. We're probably going to join one of these leagues in Westerville. And I'm going to be the head coach. I'm going to establish my own squad. But
okay.
Starting in February, I'm going to be busting my kids, man, back and forth. We're going to Plus Two, man.
Nice.
100%.
Nice, dude.
100%. Yeah, now, I talked to you about it a little while ago, so got to bring it back up to him.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm doing, man. All my kids down at Westerville, the ones that, you know, live there, the ones that going to be playing on the team here. We're going to be there, man.
Nice, man.
For
sure. We appreciate that.
Oh, no doubt.
And our goal was when we was, you know, building this thing out and looking for a location, we wanted to make it accessible to all the surrounding inner cities, suburbs, and making it easy. You know, we right off freaking 71 on Bush Boulevard, so you got 71 and 270 pretty much the two major freeways around here.
Yep.
And you can hit every suburb to inner city to whatever you want within about, you know, roughly 15 minutes.
Right.
You know, at worst.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty good location and accessible to everyone. And yeah, we're definitely looking forward to it, man. Appreciate it.
Man, sweet, sweet, man.
So anybody that got a young kid that need to be trained or anything?
Yeah, if you're an adult, you need to be trained.
I haven't. I wasn't lucky enough to chime in on an adult training session, but I'm pretty sure he's killing them as well.
Oh, yeah.
I told him.
So all ages, go to Plus Two,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. So I'm headed there right after this to get a workout in. I think I told him I'm going to stick around to see a training session. And it's so funny. So when I'm back, I work out there. E is my trainer. And I was getting off the, what do we call it? The runner. I forgot what the name of the machine. And we end our workouts with some type of crazy cardio and abs. So this kid's coming in. And I'm getting off the machine. But I'm laying down. I'm done. I'm laying on the turf. And I'm like trying to catch my breath. And I hear the door open. I just get the crawl. I'm like, don't come in. He's trying to kill me. The parents are like, I know I'm just joking. I'm like, what is going on? So
it's silly. Plus two university is, man. I'm going to try to get back over there. I need to get back in shape a little bit, man. So I can pop my top this summer.
Yeah, for sure. So and then, you know, it's funny. We have our open house this Sunday from 6 to 9.
Okay.
Pull up.
Your boy, golly, he went to my school. I'm having a break for it. Brian Brownie.
Big B.
He's going to bring his food truck out there. So
that's sweet.
Entertainment. And we're going to have
barbecue.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to have opportunity to pretty much, we need to have opportunity to have an open house.
Right.
So, I mean, a grand opening. So this open house is going to kind of serve as that. We want, you know, we're going to invite all the media out to come check it out and trying to keep pushing it, man. Right. Because some of the testimonial videos and feedback we got from it, we think this thing can not just help kids perform, you know, on and off the court, wherever it may be, but just in life as well.
100%.
We putting a lot of accountability on these guys.
Oh, that's huge, man. Starts with discipline. But transitioning, man, from the plus two university to the Ohio State University.
Go Bucks.
We got the biggest, well, what I thought was going to be the biggest game of the season. And it's still pretty big. Yeah, it's still
gonna,
huge.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game,
But it's not the biggest. I mean, you take an L to Illinois, you automatically anticipate Ohio State going and beating this team. You can say whatever you want to say about the game and how it transpired. You lost to Illinois.
Yeah.
Not supposed to happen if you're Wisconsin. If you're one of the teams that were in the top five, top 10, and you got a running back by the name of Jonathan Taylor who was running all over defenses and that you believe.
And you got to consider the number one defense in the country.
Yeah, so, I mean, nonetheless, this is a game that you really had so many lofty expectations for. I'm just hoping at this point in time it can still live up to those lofty expectations, even though they're coming off a loss to Illinois. Want to get y'all take on that, man. What's your thoughts of Wisconsin and what they're going to bring to the table? And then do you still think they're one of those teams that could get in the college football playoff and win a Big Ten championship? Obviously, you got over Minnesota with there on the West. You got to worry about
over with.
Man, you know what? It's hard to say about the college football playoffs and how you get in, but I think this game is still going to live up to all the hype. I mean, yeah, they're coming off a loss, but you think they want to have two losses back-to-back?
No.
You think they don't want to ruin Ohio State season and all their hopes and goals?
Yeah.
They, you know, as we watching TV and seeing all the highlights and glamour Ohio State, what they supposed to do and all this stuff, you think Wisconsin ain't seeing that too? Right. They're like, shit, well, Illinois ruined our shit. Let's ruin Ohio State. On top of, I mean, I don't know when last time Wisconsin lost two games back-to-back.
I don't know.
So, and they're still going to be a good team. I mean, look what Ohio State did after losing to, what, Purdue last year?
Mm-hmm.
Went out, you know, win a Big Ten championship game, and then win a Rose Bowl.
Right.
So I think it's still gonna be a big game. It'd have been that just much bigger if, you know, both teams were undefeated and things like that. But it'd be it'd be unique to see.
I mean, I think, you know, obviously when y'all know how it is when you come off a loss and you're going into the Ohio State to go play the Buckeyes. Everybody has that team circle.
Exactly.
You know, I think it's still gonna be a good game, but I think Illinois probably took something out of them.
For sure. You know, for sure.
I think Ohio State will – it'd be a good game, you know, maybe first half. I think it's towards the third, end of the fourth, they're going to take off.
They should go into this game just taking off. You know, you watch the way Illinois played. Illinois played them tough on defense.
Yeah.
They made it tough on Jonathan Taylor, who is their best player on offense. And when you look at what we were able to do this year on the defensive side of the football, we've been damn good at stopping the run. We've been damn good at not giving it big plays. That's something – that you can limit Wisconsin too, because they're not a team that has that ability to be able to score quick. They're, where are we going? Run the ball. He going to pop one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we may hit him over the top every so often. That's them in a nutshell. They can't keep up with Ohio State's offense in the tempo. And I think when you watch what they were able to do, what they weren't able to do versus Illinois, it was create those big plays consistently in the run game and score fast enough to be able to jump back on top of them. With Ohio State, that's not going to be the case. Yeah, we've always started off traditionally, but this season in general, we've had those slow starts in the first quarter. Second quarter, we poured it on.
Yeah.
Now, if it comes to that, I can't see them getting in this game. I can't see them standing in it whatsoever. They don't have that high octane. They got a solid defense, and they always going to have a good offensive line. But, bro, I believe Ohio State jumps out to this thing really quick, because now is the point in time where, shit, you want to start making those style games. You want to start winning in style and winning impressively.
This is one of those games that's going to show the playoff crew, like, okay, we know they legit, but
they serious.
Right.
That big win against Wisconsin put them up there, for real.
I think the top four is still open to me.
Right.
Clemson ain't all that.
Oh, man, Clemson.
Alabama, I don't think they really played anyone yet. LSU is damn good.
Bro, what is your thought on on Joey Burrow in that situation,
it's my dog.
Man?
It's my dog. He fuck around, beat number one pick.
But bro, that's the crazy. It's so my crazy. Dog. Now, do you believe? Well, it's kind of hard, man, because he knew he wasn't gonna play in front of Dwayne Haskins, and
he made the right decision.
And I can't even say that he's better than Dwayne Haskins because Dwayne was nuts.
Yeah.
But do you think that Ohio State should have done a little bit more to keep him on the roster and say, you know what, man, sit this 1 year. Dwayne's going to be a one and done. But nobody really anticipated that, too.
Nobody wouldn't do that, man. Nobody. When you got a guy as high caliber as he was, and he proved, I mean, when he left LSU in the same year, last year, that 1 year he put up all them numbers. He did really good. So you think he would want to sit on the behind someone? Definitely when he know he feel like, because from the information I gathered, and my personal opinion, I thought he won a battle in spring.
Right.
And
seriously,
that guy being the guy he is, he opened up a battle again, and you try to bullshit a coach's son by saying, oh, well, I don't know who my starter is going to be, you know, going into camp and this and that. Just try to keep a guy.
Right. See the writing on the wall.
That's bullshit.
Right.
And how dare you pretty much almost tarnish a guy's career because of that? And I commend him for fucking leaving.
Just think about – damn, you're right, bro. If he would have said – just think about the situation he would have been in.
If he would have said – Wait. If he would have said Dwayne Lee, Justin transfer, he'd been the same fucking situation.
Right. But is Justin still come, though?
Hell yeah, he still come. Ain't no established quarterback.
Yeah.
Dwayne Lee.
They would have probably went with the guy who had the bigger – you know how this shit is. I mean, they're going to go with the five-star guy, the guy that got the bigger name.
So he made the right decision there, then.
Of course.
Damn, man. That's just crazy to think about.
We're just saying that now because he's doing what he's doing.
Well not if he's doing it. I'm saying it because he left, period. I don't care if he was not putting up these numbers.
Right.
Yeah. He made the decision, right decision to leave him because, like I said, for one, you should never try to bullshit him and his family by trying to keep him there.
Right.
When he clear cut could have been the starter, and you told this guy he was the starter, and he had a better spring. You said, and you're talking about you, I'm talking about the staff. You said whoever had the better spring is going to be the starter.
Right.
He had the better spring.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go tell his family, oh, I don't know who my starter is going to be.
Right.
Just try to keep two really good guys on staff. And it sucks with quarterback because only one guy get to play.
Right.
Then he leaves. No, I don't care where he goes. You know, at this point, he got his degree. He had an opportunity to play right away. But if let's say he do stay, now Dwayne go out and had a year he had, which was unbelievable. And now Joe walking there thinking he about to be the starter. But guess what? Justin Fields still looking for a home. And Justin Fields' mindset, shit, Dwayne leave. Ain't no other starter.
Right.
He ain't beat out Dwayne, so he ain't beating out me either.
Uh-huh. And then the coach is probably like, this is a five-star guy we got coming in here.
We
got
to play him.
He see all this and Justin doing the things he's doing.
It's just so crazy, man. When you look at Joey Burrow, it makes perfect sense because who's to say he's the quarterback that he is right now if he doesn't leave? Because he did play last year, and the way he played last year, it was here, but now it's here. It's completely different.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I just said, I go back to the same thing as sitting on a practice squad. I can't have a great season like I was, or great
preseason. Can't develop.
I got to sit.
Right.
That's a great point.
It's like, damn, now Joe would have been the same cycle again this past spring. Oh, let me bust my ass. Oh, I'm having a great spring. Point. Oh, no, I'm not the guy. Man, I just wasted 4 or 5 years here. Now let me do the grad transfer, see if I play 1 year.
That's a great
and
point.
And the things he did, you know, in that one season, you know, I mean, last year, you know, he started off rocky, but he showed signs. And then and in the year, he picked that shit up the way he did. And now he picked it up from last year to this year. It take reps.
You know what I do love about the transfer rule, though, man? It really forces kind of what the NCAA wants, and it forces guys to get on their shit from an educational standpoint and graduate. Mm-hmm. So they graduate because of that, I'm just transferring shit out this year. No, it's more incentive for me to graduate and take all my classes and get shit squared away right.
Yeah.
Because if I do that and I still got 2 more years of eligibility, I can go and play right away, like Joey Burrow.
I love the protocol, but I love the transfer protocol because, you know, why is it fair for a coach to take – why is a guy like, you know, no offense to Jimbo Fisher and Florida State? And I mean, Florida State, you know, they went through some tough times the past 4.5-5 years. You know, they haven't been the same Florida State that we grew up watching, that I was in school hoping kind of not to play. You know what I'm saying? They one of them guys. And for a guy like Jimbo Fisher to jump boat when they catch on fire and go to another high-paying job at A&M and coach right away, that ain't fair.
Nah, it ain't.
He say, screw them kids that he recruited. You line them to – you tell them how great they're going to be, then you see how they might not pan out to be what you think they was going to be, and you go get another high-paying job.
Yeah.
But me as a player, I want to transfer because – this university ain't panning out to what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
You as a coach, you ain't that same guy who sat in my living room and told my mom you're going to love me.
Florida State look like shit.
Yeah. And then I want to transfer. Right. I want to transfer. Now I got to sit out a year. Now you got the opportunity. You got the power to not release me to certain schools.
Right.
Yep. I love the transfer protocol.
Yeah, me too, man. Yeah, I love it for that reason.
Get into it,
man.
See where you can go and play right away.
100%, man. But diving back into Ohio State, man. Want to hit back there on there, man. We get the quarterback we just talked about, Phillips, coming in. Man, he looks pretty good. I think he's made a lot of good decisions. I don't think that we've seen him take that jump to where he's Heisman caliber or anything like that, but I think he's a damn good quarterback, and he has room for growth because he's so young. Mm-hmm. What's been your outlook and your thought on him when you watch him play?
Same, man. I think he's still, you know, he might not be as high in some people Heisman candidates and the best quarterback out there, but I think he has still – lived up to the expectations and outperformed some of them in certain aspects.
Exactly.
Being a guy, I mean, you know, having that opportunity to lead these guys that he just freaking met in January or February, whenever he just got here, and you see him continue to get better each week, that's what you want in your quarterback. And that, like I said, it kind of go back to Joe, his first year as a starter.
Right.
I mean, not too many guys go out and kill it like Trevor Lawrence as the first year as a starter and and put up some of them numbers. But, you know, his numbers is really good as well. And I think I'm really excited to see how he finished this season and how he do against, you know, better quality opponents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going against the number one defense in the country this year. In the country this week. And then, you know, you still got Penn State coming up. And then you got, you know, a team up north. That's why it's going to be a hard game.
Right.
You know, no matter all that
no
crap.
Matter how they look.
Yeah, exactly. They getting up for that game.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless we're talking about 2007, because we beat this. Or 2008. We whooped their ass. And that was Rich Rod's first year. Well, I think we tore him up. Right? You had a big run in that game, too.
I had two touchdowns that game.
Yeah.
You had a – oh, we had
I said out at halftime of that
game. What was the one when you guys wore the cherry red uniform, so you took a punt return or a kick return to the house? It was at Ohio State, though.
2010, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That wasn't me, though. I ain't about to take that credit, bro. I ain't never took a kick return or a punt return.
You're right.
You probably had a big run then.
I had a 99-yard run. And they had called holding on Dane Sachenbach.
Dane, yeah. That's what it was. Because y'all wore the cherry red with the little. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I remember he's running down the field with you blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
So, overall assessment, you know, from what you see from Ohio State right now, what's your thoughts? And what have you been most impressed with Ryan Day, too?
Same. I'm living up to the expectation and kind of blowing some of them out the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that, you know, to a couple of buddies when I went there.
You talked about that last night.
Yeah, saw him in the spring. I'm like, man, dude, you know, he got it running like an NFL team.
Right.
He got it running like he got a stream of accountability, not just on the coaches, but the players as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that culture that he's continued to enhance,
right.
You know, because it's always been there in that university and that program, is just making them guys better.
Mm-hmm.
And they clicking on all cylinders and they holding each other accountable. And you can just see, you can tell by a team like that about an engagement on sideline, in my
right.
personal 100%. Opinion. You know, a guy screw up or something like that, you see they take all accountability and ownership of each and every situation. You know, so I think he got them guys rolling, and I'm excited to see, you know, where his future takes them.
Carter, we did something last week, man. We did an all-decade team last week, and boom, picks. They were fucking just ridiculous, man. It didn't make no sense the way he was picking his picks.
My defense was good. My offense was pretty bad. Bro,
everything
I ain't gonna
was
lie.
Shitty. I can't believe it. He was picking people because he knew their name.
But, you know how this. He's about to run into him like, damn, why you picking me?
Minus yourself, I'm going to give you an opportunity. You got to pick three guys,
okay.
Three position groups. I'm gonna all decade now. This you
got
the
list
coach.
Over there. You want me to go get it?
I mean, I don't need to give him a list. You got to pick a coach too, and Coach Tressel, Coach Ryan Day, and Urban Meyer, and then quarterback. Or no, give me your three position groups. Coach and three position groups, all decade team. Whatever position group you want, I'm gonna see where you're at and who you're picking here.
So I can wait. So pick
first off, who your head coach?
Who my head coach?
Yeah, all decade. This is like, all right, for 1 year, this is who I'm taking, and I'm pairing Tress, these guys with him.
You got Tress, Ryan Day.
I just rattled them off.
I'm just getting to him again, so you know.
Can I pick a head coach that wasn't my head coach?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Tom Herman.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's my coach.
Okay. So that's a little twist right there.
Tom Herman. All
right, that's a big twist because we didn't even really have. We had coaches, but we had just the head coaches. But all right, you do you.
Yeah, Tom Herman is my coach. Now I got to pick what receiver.
A quarterback.
No, whatever position group that you want. This is who you're starting your franchise, but you're starting your recruiting year with. Ooh. Your recruiting class. This is what it's going to look like.
Tom Herman's my coach for sure.
This shit is tough, ain't it? It's so tough.
Because it is offense, Tom Herman's receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Receiver, running back, quarterback.
Who you got?
So you going receiver first?
Receiver. So I pick one receiver.
Yep. This is who we get. That
Junior.
Okay. No, he can't be it.
Nope.
He wasn't
from 2000.
Oh, he got to be 2010 or to now.
Okay. Devin Smith. Because you need a vertical threat in that
That
offense.
Was one of my top receivers that I took, Devin Smith. Matter of fact, that was my number one receiver. We're on the same page.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's easy to say Mike Thomas because the things he's doing in
right now.
Nah, I'm talking about what he did in college. Okay. And his offense. Okay. I got to pick Zeke.
We on the same page.
Yeah.
All right.
And quarterback. I got to go with Terrell Pryor.
Okay. Boom went with TP as his QB.
Sorry. I go with TP. That three right there on top of the offense, you might score 90 points a game. I'm sorry. You might score 90 points a game.
See, but you're going at it from a you watch TP. I play with TP. So he going at it from that. He going at it from that different perspective.
But guess what? In this offense, I ain't asked him to get under center.
You going to ask him to throw that ball.
Just straight. Devin Smith, what is he? He's straight running.
All right. Okay, so I see where you're going with this.
Listen, this is what I'm saying. You got to be scared of Devin Smith straight.
100%.
He ain't got to run no other routes. A post and a go.
That's it.
You got to keep two safeties up.
Play action the hell out of here.
Now you got Zeke and TP running zone read.
Uh-huh.
Pick your poison.
See, I had Braxton. I had Ryan there as my coach. Braxton was my number one pick. I got Zeke and I got Devin Smith as my trio right there. That's my trio right there.
You can go either or, though.
You can go either or.
Yeah, because they both
Better runner, TP or Braxton?
Oh, I'm going to take Braxton. TP was strong as fuck. Yeah. He was a
Braxton had your neck off.
Bro, big time.
But Braxton had that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I thought Braxton could throw the ball pretty decent.
Yeah. You can't go wrong either.
Right. Yeah, you can't go wrong.
That's what I'm saying. But that deep threat. And them two had that quarterback and running back.
That's an interesting choice right there with head coach, man.
Tom Herman.
Dude, you know, you look at, you know, the years that you were here, we looked our best when we had Tom Herman
calling
the plays. So, for sure, man. All right, I like it, man. I like that right there, man. So, do you see Ohio State running this table, Big Ten championship, getting in the college football playoff, even though you did say that you believe the playoff is still wide open?
I think it's still wide open. I believe they legit have a chance to be a top four team at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went out, and I don't think two SEC teams get in this year.
Right, me either.
So I think if they went out, they definitely in the top four.
Right. So if you had to pick your four right now?
Right now, it'd be LSU is
one.
LSU would be number one.
Okay.
Respect of Clemson because they are still undefeated in Alabama, but because right now, I mean, I know I just said two SEC teams won't do it, but they LSU and Alabama got to play each other.
Right.
And then one of them still got to play Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody would be a two-loss team, you know, or you had 3 1-loss teams in the SEC. What do you do?
Right.
So I don't think two make it this year, and I think Ohio State is in the top four.
Right. Okay.
But I think number one overall is LSU, and then the other three is up for grabs.
However you want to do it. Man, I love it. Real quick, man, we got to jump back to BetDSI. Spence, I'm going to need you. I'm going to need you to throw them headphones on. I need you to give me the best 3 games, and I'm going to let Cardell.
Uh-oh.
We're obviously going to throw our 2 cents into this as well, but we like to go against the spread. We like to, you know, figure out, you know, which big marquee games are this weekend. Obviously, you know, we got Ohio State, but he's going to give us a spread, and we're going to our BetDSI right now, and we're going to
pick this week?
who we're choosing.
Do we have game day this week?
I don't know.
If we do, I'm going out there with my sign.
They're at South Dakota State.
You know,
who went to South Dakota State? Is it
It's a quarterback.
Wentz? No, he went to North Dakota State, right?
It's North Dakota. I'm certain.
Okay. So that's a pretty big game. What's the running
Bison.
Back? Was Danny Woodhead. Where'd he go? Chapman State. Oh, Chatterns. I know he was like all-time leading rusher or something for like – NAI or some shit like
so
that.
So do you think if Wisconsin would have still been undefeated, they would have had it here?
Probably so.
No, that's probably all they set.
I don't think game day don't get
set until the week of.
Yeah,
like
seriously.
Sunday.
Yeah.
They don't get set until Sunday.
Because I remember.
Because of the Fox kickoff shows is in the horseshoe.
Okay, gotcha. That's Urban Meyer's first time back. Man, that's going to be real interesting right there, man.
Oh, I ain't going. I already had plans. I ain't going to the game. Right. I'll be at Penn State, though.
Right.
I told him, I see him in the winter. I'm hitting him with a snowball. Have you guys, speaking of Urban, you guys checked out his new place in
No, I haven't.
I went the other day.
Nice, yeah.
Is it legit?
It's nice. It's nice as heck.
Bro, one thing I do – love Urban. I love Urban as a commentator, bro. I really do. I mean, the dude breaks shit down like insanely. I mean, no slight to Herbie and all that. I love Herbie. But coming from a coaching perspective, I think he's the best in college football right now, breaking everything down that he sees on the field. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And real quick, while we're waiting on Spence, boom, we got something else? Or Spence, you ready? Ready player one.
You got me in the headphones?
I got you in the headphones, baby.
All right, we're going to start LSU Auburn.
Ooh, LSU Auburn. Auburn is
where's the game?
They lost one,
it's
right?
At LSU. LSU's a 11-point favorite.
Auburn has lost.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what do you got right there, man? Who you going with? Are you taking LSU? You taking the spread?
You know what? You know what's funny? I just learned how the spread works.
Okay. Hey, me too.
They favored by 11, so they got to win by 12.
Right.
Well, this is a buddy telling me. Well, they got to win by 11 and a half.
Right, 12, essentially.
12. So LSU, I'm saying if I take LSU, I'm saying they beat them by 12 points.
Yeah.
I'm taking LSU.
Taking LSU, again, at BetDSI, promo code Beanie100, these are where I'm making my picks, and I'm making my money. In this situation.
You said you taking LSU?
Yeah, I'm taking LSU.
I ain't taking LSU.
Is that LSU?
I don't care.
So are you taking them not to win it? You think they're going to win the game?
No,
spread?
I don't think they're going to cover the spread.
Okay. All right.
I think they're going to win, but they ain't going to cover the spread.
All right. That's one. Check off that one.
Pick two, Penn State at Michigan State. It's, like I said, at Michigan State. Penn State coming off the big win against 20. Michigan.
Right.
It's a seven-point spread.
Oh, they
Penn
definitely.
Penn State favored.
They
definitely
covered that. Seven, is it?
Yeah.
You know what, man? Michigan State sucks.
I'm going to dive out there, and I'm going to say I'm taking Michigan State. Michigan State.
Is it a night game?
I'm taking them to win the game, and I'm taking them against the spread.
Wow.
I'm taking Michigan State. Is it a night
game? That's a double whammy for you.
It's at 3:30.
Oh, we're going to see if it's a double whammy next week. We absolutely going to see.
We can put the side bet on the side.
All right. Then you know the third game we're picking.
So you said you got Penn State in that one?
Huh?
Cardio?
I got Penn State.
You got Penn State. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. The last game.
You know the third game we're picking.
Ohio State, Wisconsin.
Ohio State, Wisconsin, 14.5 right now.
I'm taking Ohio State. That's a good line.
I'm taking Ohio State, and we're going to cover the spread.
14.5.
See, y'all think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's a good game.
I ain't saying it's going to be a blowout. I just told y'all.
They beat them by about 10 or 13 points.
Yeah, I have it at 34-20.
Okay.
So, Cardio, you and I are on the same page.
14.5. You know what? The hell with it. I'm taking Ohio State. I just said it. I was talked extremely confident about it.
Bro, you just
I pumped him up. I thought Ohio State was going to go out and get off to a great start. I'm taking this thing. I had to think about it.
I was about to say.
It's the coach. The players right now are down. It's the coach's job. This is going to be a testament to him. I totally forgot his name, of how well he can get his players up for this game.
Yeah. Right.
Because everybody thinking their season's over, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, can we pick another one?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Just get a fourth one in there.
Yeah, but go ahead. But finish your thought, though.
Oh, everybody thinks the season's over. They're players. So it's going to be a testament of how good of a coach he is to get these guys up and play. And at the end of the day, somebody, one of them players, will say, shit, our season might be over. Let's go ruin their shit.
Yeah. But it doesn't really ruin Ohio State's season.
I know.
That's the crazier thing.
It really don't, because they're going to control their side.
Right.
And they're still going to go, and they went out. They still can potentially go. But they're going to feel some type of way, and I think it's going to be a good game. And that's why I'm saying that Ohio State
like
beat
I said,
them by more than 15 points.
It will be a good game. Early in the game, after third quarter, I think they're going.
Guess what? As long as Ohio State win, I don't give a fuck. I don't care if they win by one.
Right.
I don't care.
I do because I'm betting.
Right.
Notre Dame, Michigan.
Ooh.
I see it at one right now. A 1-point spread. So basically, you're just picking the winner.
A 1-point spread.
You're just picking the winner, yeah.
Notre Dame
only lost one game. That was to Georgia, right?
Notre Dame win.
What's crazy is they both sorry as hell, so.
The night game at Michigan, I think that adds something, though. I really do.
Michigan, they fought back in that game last week like
a mug. I'm going with Notre Dame because I can't stand.
Dude, I think at this point in time, if Harbaugh loses his game, this is like a career game for him. It if is. He loses this game, although he still got Michigan State and he still got Ohio State, if he loses this one, it's like – the seat is in hell right now. I mean, it's more than the hot seat. You're in hell burning right now.
Bro, you've lost to two of the top teams in the Big Ten already. If you lose to Notre Dame
this is another long-standing rivalry.
That's what I'm saying.
You finally get this back. But and when you look at his track record, he hasn't beat a rival.
Man, he ain't beat a top team. I think a ranked team.
Yeah.
That's – He must have got some dirt on the AD or something.
Right, to still have this gig.
Yeah. That for real, though, just not 0-7 or 0-5 or Ohio State, that shit gets you fired.
What?
He got some dirt. He got some pictures.
He lose Michigan pictures or something.
You lose Michigan one time, you on the hot seat.
You like this. How we looking this year?
Right.
You know what we're talking about. Like, I don't care about nothing else. You go.
Right.
I just think about all the years that, you know, you think about the things that happened with Coach Cooper.
Right.
He just couldn't win that game. And thinking about the years that, you know, well, it really was kind of under all Coach Cooper when Ohio State was. Win this game, you're going to the national championship in Michigan right there. And that coach usually would be like.
I'm actually getting ready to do a show with Coach Cooper here shortly, man. That's my guy. Nonetheless. Right. But I'm picking, I hate to pick Michigan on anything, but because of the seat is blistering his ass right now because it's so hot, I got to go Harbaugh and.
He doesn't perform good on
this is
when
it,
shit
bro.
Get hot.
That's where I'm going, man. So you taking Notre Dame?
Yeah. I'm taking Notre Dame.
All right, Notre Dame it is, man. And
you got them written down, man? Because I'm going to need my money. Okay.
That's where I'm making my picks at betdsi.com. Check them out. Use promo code Benny100. It's been a great show. Anytime we get Cardo on, man, the shit is always entertaining. We broke down the XFL, his time in the NFL. We broke down the Ohio State-Wisconsin game, who we think is going to win, how impressed we are with Dwayne Haskins, Justin Fields, and how impressed we are with Joe Burrow and his Buckeye team and Ryan Day. Tune in.
I'm gonna say don't forget about the facility, man.
Oh yeah, we can't forget about +2 University, man. Yeah. I'm getting my football team in Mansfield to come here because we're gonna be playing in Columbus next year.
He said what?
And that's where we're gonna change. And you point out, say something. Say that shit.
Right.
But that's a wrap on Beating the Bull, man. Thanks again, Cardell.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.